Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your boy Dangerous Duke
and your boy Stevie Jobber.
And welcome to the Dangerous Jobbers podcast. And for the next 15 minutes, we're running a segment called The Dark Match.
People have been asking me to be the best in the world. Why, Eddie, why?
I'm better than you.
My eyes are right out in the back smoking a joint.
Yo, so welcome back to the Dark Match, man. It has been an epic time. I need a clip of a whole new world. That's the theme that's been playing in my head since Saturday. A whole new world. Because, I mean, we'll go through the whole show. We'll save it. We'll save it for the end. But you know what I'm talking about.
Maybe, I mean, maybe not. I don't know.
Hell has frozen over, but we'll get into it. We got to do the Survivor Series War Games review real quick and just get into all the events that followed. But first things first, the women's War Games match to kick off the show.
Right.
First thoughts.
Me or you?
You. You, first thoughts.
My first thoughts were, now are we talking as the match was going on or just of the match in general?
As the match in general.
The match in general, let Io cook.
Mm.
That was my thoughts throughout this entire match. Let Io cook. There's a reason we have Io as a world champ right now. There's a reason. Even while Damage Control is a heel faction that we love EO, this was why. Every time this woman is in a War Games match, she's been in every single War Games match. She has never failed.
Never.
She has never dropped the ball. She delivers every single time. She does the same move every single time. And we love it every single time. This match was probably the best women's War Games match we've had. I will go that far.
I'm glad you feel that way because my first thought was this was the better War Games. By far. These women went out there and kicked ass. I mean, it wasn't even close for me. And honestly, I felt like Damage Control definitely was the highlight of the night for me. But I ended up, by the time that War Games was over, saying to myself, man, they should have let them win. Because the way they were so cohesive out there, Mrs. Jobber brought this up to me. It's a very funny turn of events because my dad messaged me, yo, they're gonna kick Bailey out tonight. And I went in optimistic. I wasn't sure. And then as the match goes on, Mrs. Jobber goes, yo, they're pulling a Sammy. And I was like, oh snap, yeah. She's making every single big save for them. All the way up until the end. Yeah. And then by sacrificing herself multiple times, just leaves her open for the finishing blow. But she saved everybody in the process trying to get this win.
At one point or another.
And I saw people on social media like, oh man, that's it. They're going to blame Bailey. And I was like, really? If they blame Bailey and kick her out after that performance, I'm rooting for Bailey as a face. I have all intentions of looking at Bailey as a face then. Because after that performance, bro, you show that you are the leader of that team, you are the glue, you are the thing that keeps it together. Like, it ended up costing you in the end, but that's only because you were saving everybody else that was running out of steam first. You know what I mean? Like, that was a face turning performance.
It was a very good performance on Bayley's end. It tells me Bayley has the best chemistry with everyone on the roster, if that makes sense. Like, there's no one on the roster Bayley can have a bad segment with or a bad match with. You could put Bayley out there with, who's a low woman on the totem pole right now? You could put her out there with who's old girl from Shotzi. You put her out there with Shotzi. You could put her out there with old girl from Maxine. You could put her out there with Maxine, and she's going to have a great match with Maxine.
She's going to make it look like $1 million, man.
Yes, she is. She might be the Triple H of the women's division.
Yo, you said it before I could, because you know where I'm going with it.
She might be the Triple H of the women's division.
We're going to have another dark match about it, but real talk, like, Bayley has got to be one of Triple H's greatest students. Mm-hmm. Like, she's high on the totem pole. And yeah. I've seen that in, like, docs from years ago about how much she was already trying to learn about the business overall. So, like, we're going to have to do another dark match about it, but respect on Bayley, man. Respect, man. She's amazing, for real, for real. But, yeah, I mean, everybody did amazing. I think Bayley put on an award-winning performance. I think EO did an amazing – I think everyone was just very cohesive.
You know what it was, I think, for me in this match? It looked like they were really beating the shit out of each other.
That too.
Like,
it looked like it hurt.
Yeah, it looked like
they really didn't hold back.
Like the eight of them might have just came to an agreement backstage, like, we just going to go. Something lands.
You know what? And you know what? I absolutely agree. I 100% agree. You're right. Because looking at the eight women we're dealing with, I mean, three of them are from Japan.
Yes.
Right? One of them is Charlotte Flair, who only lives born to put on the best performance.
You born know what into I mean? This business.
You got Bianca Belair, who only wants to, at this point, might have a chip on her shoulder. For real, like, and mm-hmm. like, as a real, like, performer, have a chip on her shoulder about how she somehow fell into the middle. Because I believe it. I believe there could be some truth to, like, being kind of messed up about that.
And you got Bayley, who's been doing this since she was 15, who's been doing this her whole life.
And what a moment to carry a match. Mm-hmm. Of all the people in there that you're dealing with, because Bayley definitely had a hand in how well this match was choreographed.
And then you got Becky to throw on top. You know, Becky,
yep.
Becky bruises easily, she breaks easily, but that don't mean she's going to shy away from taking that punch.
Mm-mm.
Shotzi's really the only wild card in that, because she's probably the newest of them all.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, Shotzi, there was a match before where somebody was like, this really elevated Shotzi to everyone else's level. I think it was Hunter, actually. But you know what? Her blending in with the caliber of all the rest of these women, because she's clearly the rookie. She is the greenest person in that ring by far.
Mm-hmm.
So for her, like, the experience, the level up in her character now.
This did more leaps and bounds for her than any other match she's had in any of her
career. This was probably the biggest match of her career. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We got to run through the rest of these, man. So the next match, Intercontinental Championship, you have the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion, Gunther.
Yes.
And the man that holds the record for...
He's tied.
They put up a thing about his days combined.
Oh,
that's okay. That's what I'm referring to.
Okay.
They had a days combined that Gunther was on his way to breaking. But speaking to what you were just about to talk about, they have this through line that I'm kind of on the fence about, because tonight was probably the first night I've ever heard them mention that The Miz, if he wins, will tie Chris Jericho for Intercontinental Championships.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of blew me away because it was like, oh, they've never publicly said that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's kind of always been like a best kept secret that The Miz is one of the best Intercontinental Champions of all time. But nobody ever really referred to how close he was to breaking all the records, or that record specifically, or mentioning Chris Jericho.
I'll be honest, I don't even think they realized how
I think they knew. I think they knew. I think Hunter knew. I think everyone in that company knows. Like, us as fans, we don't give him enough credit, but I think all the higher ups appreciate and know how close The Miz is to that.
No, yeah, I understand that they appreciate him and all, but I don't think they realized until, like, when shit got down to the nitty gritty, not even like within the last few months, just within maybe, I'll say, the last time he held the IC title. I don't think they realized just exactly how close he was to tying and breaking the record.
You think that was the moment that somebody looked at somebody else and was like, hey, he's one away.
Yeah, he's right there. I think it's kind of like an Edge situation. Like, everybody knew Edge was great, but nobody realized, wait, this dude has 11, 12 world titles? With this dude passed The Rock? How did he pass Rock?
Because I'm a heel by nature, I knew. because I love a good heel, and Miz is so naturally hateable.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're watching Miz and Mrs., and then he's like the funniest freaking guy ever.
Then you can't help but love him, dude.
Then you can't help but love him, man. But it's best kept secret. He's one of the best. But this was the first time I heard them actually say it.
Yeah.
So I was kind of blown away, and then I was like, okay, I know I'm getting a good match just because of that commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And then they really kind of let Miz run with that at the beginning. Like, he would have a lot of good runs and like a lot of like great showings of his athleticism and his moveset. You know what I mean? And of course, Gunther was ripping into him. And Miz just kept trying to come back to the point where it started to really frustrate Gunther. I thought it was just very entertaining. It was very good on both ends.
I agree. This match for me, for as short as it was, 12, 13 minutes, what have you, it did what it needed to do. They let Miz cook. They let Miz do what he had to do. Gunther got his licks in too when need be. It was an all-around great match between the both of them. I honestly hope he gets another crack at it. I wouldn't mind seeing both of them in the ring again later down the line, maybe at a Raw, maybe at the Rumble, something. I would like to see them two just go one more time.
Yo, and just my leaving point, my one gripe, this is why I'm on the fence about the commentary about Chris Jericho, because Gunther beat him with a move I don't really think I've seen Gunther beat anybody with. And yeah. I went into this expecting, okay, this is going to be a really good match because they put a lot of credit on Miz's name, saying he's one away from becoming or tying to be the person that's held the Intercontinental title more than anybody else.
Yes.
So I went into this thinking they're going to put a lot of respect on Miz's name. And up until that finish, they had. And then up until that finish, and then it became very disrespectful.
Did him dirty.
that they put Miz in the Walls of Jericho. And then even to add insult to injury, turned it into the Lion Tamer to have Miz tap out he's one away from.
You know what that was?
How disrespectful is that?
No.
Chris Jericho better be coming back. Like, that was some bulk.
That was Gunther being a student of the game. Gunther being the ring general that he is, knowing Chris Jericho has won 9 Intercontinental titles. So he took a page out of one of the greatest Intercontinental champions of all time in Chris Jericho and used his move on the man trying to catch up to him. Because he knows if it works, for him, it's going to work for me. And that's what he did. Not disrespect, just great study.
But at least in the press conference, Walter said he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. At least he put some respect on the man's name.
Yeah, I agree. Chris Jericho is a first ballot Hall. That's why
You're disrespectful. Yo, getting to the Luchadors. Kind of a squash. I don't have much to say. What is your take on Santos versus Dragon Lee?
It happened.
My take is this. It was kind of a squash for Santos. They didn't give him a lot of time, but they're luchadors, so they did what luchadors do with limited amount of time, mm-hmm. which is the best they fucking can.
For me, it was just, it happened, and I don't know what the added hype of giving us Carlito and then swapping him for Dragon Lee does. I feel like everybody and their mom would have preferred Carlito. I don't know if he was actually hurt or not. I don't think he was.
I think it was to give Santos an easy win.
An easier win?
A clean win, because he beat Dragon Lee clean, which is what I think this was about. Mm-hmm. Because they had promoted Dragon Lee as like Rey Mysterio, giving him like the future of Lucha Libre and both.
Yeah, they're filling everybody besides Santos.
Stamp on Dragon Lee. He also put a stamp on Ricochet, but we ain't gonna talk about that. So they put a lot of hype on Dragon Lee. They was building him up for a lot of wins. So I think it was just the easy way to give Santos a legit clean win over a guy who at the time it wouldn't really hurt his push. So he could be the sacrificial lamb to give Santos an extra boost before he goes up against somebody that's got a little more hype than him. Because he's got to start feeling more legitimate before he goes one-on-one with somebody just the size of Carlito, not to mention the massive popularity and crowd pull. You know what I mean? To not get drowned out in that and that hype.
Well, the way I see it is, either way, whether it was Santos or whether it was Carlito or Dragon Lee, I still picked Santos to win. I knew Santos was going to be the guy that pulled it out anyway. But I still would have preferred a Carlito. A lot of people would have. You got to build new stars. I get it. But I think in a big market like Chicago, big pay-per-view like Survivor Series, you're throwing War Games into the mix. You got to get as many big stars out of it as you can. I feel like maybe you could have pushed the Dragon Lee thing to another show, to another pay-per-view maybe. But that was just my opinion on it.
I feel you. I can't argue with that. Co-main event. Again, not a big take on this one. Rhea Ripley versus Zoe Stark for the Women's World Championship. Mm-hmm. I gotta try to really remember these. My only take is, I don't know.
Mommy's always on top.
Mommy's always on top, man.
You know what?
Congratulations on your 15 minutes, kid. You know what I mean?
And you calling me the asshole.
Oh, but sorry. Listen, man, okay. I have not been the biggest fan of Zoe Stark.
Zoe Kitaen.
But it was clear that she was just dead meat. Like,
oh yeah, like you were the little fish in the big pond.
She was clearly there to get Rhea over. So yeah. It was like I wasn't expecting a groundbreaking performance.
So the way I'm gonna say it is like this. First and foremost, again, I will neither confirm nor deny if I was okay or not okay during the Rhea Ripley entrance.
We ain't even going, with that being said, we're gonna try to keep it as PG as we can. Yikes.
Channeling Shawn Michaels with them pants, but you know, we're gonna keep it as PG as we can.
Yeah. Hell of a day for the cameraman.
Way to wear Ashley's chaps. Anyway, all in all, considering where this story started to where it just ended, they did what they set out to do, I guess. Zoe Stark won the Battle Royal to be the number one contender. You kind of built her up a little bit. You let her run on the promos. Did decent enough on the promos. She kept up with Rhea for a good while there. Looked serviceable. And then she didn't get completely squashed in her match. She had a decent enough match where it was, you know, it was literally like, instead of going like this, or just going like this, or like just dropping completely, it was kind of like this the whole way through.
It was kind of even.
Yeah, like you had your moments where it was like up, then down, and then kind of this, which at the end of the day isn't always a bad thing. You don't want it to drop like a, you know, dead fish. If it can maintain a steady flow, then you did your job and you did it right. So Zoe,
it gave me NXT jobber vibes. It gave me Oney Lorcan vibes.
Oh, I wouldn't even.
Oney Lorcan is far better than Zoe Stark in my opinion, but and that's no discredit to Zoe Stark. I just love Oney Lorcan. Back in those Oney Lorcan NXT days, when Oney Lorcan was out there, most of the time he was jobbing until he got with Danny Burch. But whenever he went out there, you knew you were in for a banger of a match because it would be even the entire time. You know Oney Lorcan's going down, but you know you're in for a good freaking match, and Oney Lorcan is going to get his off. That's what this felt like. She's going to job. But we're gonna make it look really good, you know.
I would have said NXT. No, I can't even do that. Oney Lorcan's the better example than I was gonna give.
What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say NXT Becky, but not this NXT Becky. NXT Becky, the first runaround.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great example. Yes, that early NXT Steampunk Becky.
Okay.
She's gonna give you a show, but she's going down. She's not
beating Charlotte. She's not beating Sasha.
She's the only one that didn't win the title.
She's not beating Bayley.
Yeah. She was in the conversation, but she was never chosen.
But she did what she did. She did what she set out to do. Just keep the steady flow.
Yeah. 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 We'll talk about. Yeah. Last but not least. No, not even last. We still got to talk about the extra stuff. But anyway, this will branch into that.
Yes.
War Games. Men's War Games. Judgment Day plus Drew McIntyre. Against Randy Orton, who was a no-show up until that point. Mm-hmm. Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare. Yeet. Jey Uso.
Yeet.
Sami Zayn.
Yeet.
And Seth freaking Rollins.
Yeet.
And to be honest, match kicked ass to me, man. I thought they did a good job. I don't think they were as great as the women were, but they told a story. And I find that Triple H will often do this thing of starting the match with the match that's probably the better match and ending with the match that tells a bigger story. Because the entire story of the match is Randy Orton's coming back. Yeah. You know what I mean? There wasn't much of a overarching thing as much as it was Randy's coming back.
And I agree with what you just said. Like, I know you probably got more to say, but I just want to cut you off for a second. Sure. I agree with what you said when you said Triple H is going to start the War Games match with the best match. Like the best, you mean the best two people that are in ring
out of no. I mean like the best quality match, like the opener of the show.
Oh. I thought you meant like the best two wrestlers in the ring.
Oh, but that as well. But that as well. Hunter is known to choose the best endurance.
Yeah.
Or the best endurance athlete of that group. Usually is the one to start. Yeah.
And then in the men's match, you had Bailey and Becky.
Yep.
So the two
workhorses.
It was the most endurance people or the most endured people first. Mm-hmm.
Which is always a great choice.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised they went with Seth over Jay, but you totally get it.
Yeah, you totally get it. It was the right call in my
book. And Finn and Seth, yeah, and I mean,
you watch them 100 times over.
Yeah, they're always
and 99 times out of 100, it's gonna be good. One time, it's gonna end up with a messed up shoulder, but you know,
they somehow are a duo I can keep seeing over and over and never get tired of it.
Just no,
and I can get tired of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, but. I watch Seth and Finn every time.
Just no buckle bombs ringside.
Just no buckle bombs on ringside. But the men did a great job. Do you want to fast forward to the best part?
The RKO off the top?
Or just Randy coming back?
Yeah, no, man. For
me, like...
Like, I've been telling everybody for the past 2 weeks... pretty much since they announced that it was a 5-on-5 War Games match. Anybody who knows me knows how much I love Randy Orton. Randy Orton is one of my GOATs as far as all-time goes. I put him up there with like my Kurt Angles and my Eddie Guerreros. So Randy's up there. I'm not going to lie. I damn near cried when he came out. I didn't cry, but I was like, I could have. He looked drunk walking to the ring. I'm not going to lie. He did look a little drunk walking to the ring. Pointing like this and doing that stumble to the side. I'm like, was he having libations with Jey Uso before the match? He might have been having some after, but no, that's besides the
point. He might have met with a few people.
All in all, dude, I was really ecstatic to see him come back. And he didn't do too much.
No.
But he did just enough.
But he did it. But everything, like Randy, everything he did mattered.
Yes, he did.
And he immediately took control as soon as he got in there. He ran the show.
Yep. As soon as he stepped into that cage, you knew who was leading the tango.
It was his match to call, man. Nice spot with Jey Uso. I like it.
Great spot with JD McDonough.
Mm-hmm. I wish Seth's curb stomp hadn't gone bad. I didn't see how it went, but you can just tell by the fact that they didn't highlight it that it didn't look that great.
Yeah.
So I was kind of messed up about that. I was like, damn, I know what that probably should have looked like. So the fact that they won't even show it is like, dag. Spot they messed up.
Another thing, because we shit on him an awful lot. I'm gonna give the man some flowers. JD McDonagh, you have a beautiful moonsault, sir.
Yo, first of all, I don't know who's shitting on JD McDonagh. I love
like No, Jaden, like a lot of people crack jokes on him. Like, not, that's I don't true. Like, that is like, very as a true.
That is very
they,
true. Like, as, they, a,
they shit
as
on
a wrestling as, community.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that man, he killed it in War Games.
He's amazing, bro. JD McDonagh does not get enough credit, guys. When y'all up and left NXT UK, this guy was the one battling it out with Ilya Dragunov in the last days. He is battle tested. Like, yeah.
Like that,
he's
that
really good
on the did, that was like Montez Ford height. I was like, oh, okay, you get ups like that. Okay.
He get down, bro. He get down, bro. JD McDonagh, he's the Irish ace, bro.
Yeah,
he's the Irish ace for a reason.
Doing half of my people proud.
He was sick. I think he was probably the Shotzi of that match.
Yeah. he was taking all the bumps.
Somehow Dom was in there, but he was the Shotzi.
Maybe we got to give him some credit for that. You know, not a lot of people can take the heat off of Dom in a War Games match.
It's true. It's very true. It's very true. And I like JD in there just because I feel like this is going to be a weird reference, and I'm going to zoom by it real quick because we got way more important things to talk about. But I feel like I saw Dom and JD jumping whoever that we'll get into later recently, and I just liked the two of them together because it was like JD's smaller than him, but JD's the better wrestler, and the better like pit bull of the two. So in a way it plays to Dom's character, because Dom gets to be the tough guy that has a tough guy with him, so he doesn't have to be a tough guy. And also they like Dom can still seem like he bosses him around because he's taller than him, and JD's like, you know what I mean, like he's like the run of the group, so it can still be like that's like Dom's little young boy, even though it's not, even though he's like the far better guy. And it's like having a big man that's not a big man. And it's just hilarious. I like the dynamic of those two together. And it reminds me of like, this is the weird reference and then we'll move past it. Because I'm a Family Guy buff, when Brian was brought in, he was brought in to be the sidekick to Peter. So the fact that now everyone thinks of Brian with Stewie is just like a happening that they did not expect. This was a happening I just did not expect. Like, I expected him to be tied to Finn the whole time, but I like really like the dynamic him and Dom have. All right, moving past it. Randy Orton wins the match. No cash in, because they plan for Randy Orton not to come. They're celebrating. You know, I'm getting up. You know, it's late. You know, I'm getting the dishes together. And what do you know? CM Punk comes back. Phil Mother Brooks. And I go, you gotta be kidding me. Hell has frozen over. And Seth Rollins looked pissed. What's your take, man? What's your take? And we can go from here into the promo on Monday if you want. Or if you want to break it up. And we'll talk about the Randy stuff first. But what's your take on Punk returning, man?
We can do it all in one foul swoop. So I started, for those of you guys who know, most pay-per-views I do a live stream. I wear a wrestling shirt on said live stream. This live stream, I just so happened to wear a CM Punk shirt, thinking, you know what? They ain't no way in hell they're gonna bring him back. It's a Survivor Series show in Chicago. They want CM Punk. I'm going to wear the shirt just to be a smartass, okay? So I'm wearing the shirt. We watching the stream. End credits are coming up. Like, it's over. It's done. boom, the music hits, CM Punk walks out, and I had to eat me a slice of humble pie. I did. I admit that. I was wrong. They bamboozled me. However, that does not mean I was excited for this return. Because in all honesty, I wasn't. For me, it was just, we don't need you. You didn't need to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But after watching Raw and hearing his promo and listening to the man, and then listening to what Triple H has also said on the matter, I will say I agree with Hunter. Nobody is the same person they were 10 years ago. If you're the same person you were 10 years ago, something's wrong. I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago, by far. Stevie's not the same person he was 10 years ago, by far. But I'm still very much on the fence, given his history from 10 years ago, given his mm-hmm. history from 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I am still very much on the fence. But I will give slight benefit of the doubt. 10 years ago is not today. 6 months ago is a completely different company than you're in now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to just play this week by week and ear and like by ear and see where it goes mm-hmm. before I completely throw it to shit.
My take might throw you a little left field.
Go ahead.
I was shocked. I was scared. I was not okay seeing CM Punk at first. And then I have to see what Hunter says. We gotta listen to the press conference. I have to understand, because he's at every press conference. He's gonna know. He's gonna have to answer this CM Punk question. So I was like, I'm gonna wait to see what he says before I like try to start to process this. I hear what Hunter says.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, okay, I understand what happened here. And then I see the picture sent to me of Bischoff and McMahon, and then Hunter and Punk, and I go, I'm starting to move into an acceptance zone of what's happening here. And then I hear Punk's promo, and I go, God damn it, man. They got themselves an MJF. Mother freakers, man. Like, oh, you evil genius, Hunter. You evil genius. You know what the best thing going on AEW is? The guy that's only there to be the best and make the most money and get himself over above everything else.
Yeah.
You know what Hunter did? He found the best guy to do that with. It just so happens you fall right into a slot of making us all the most money we've ever made and only being out for yourself, and me being in a position to be totally okay with that.
I was going to say, and you know what makes it even better? We don't have to interact on screen together.
Right. I don't have to. We can be out there with a live mic by yourself.
We can just hate each other in private.
And now Seth has to be the guy that has to deal with you.
Yeah, now that is something that might be my gripe. I understand there's a difference between being a talent and being someone who makes those kind of decisions to bring people in.
Mm-hmm.
But even Tom Brady was consulted on which wide receivers come into the room. Like, even Tom Brady had to be asked, should we bring Randy Moss in? Like, even Jalen Hurts got to be asked, hey, should we get A.J. Brown? Should we draft a Devontae Smith? For those of you guys who don't know football, I'm sorry. But even though LeBron James has to be asked, hey, should we get Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony? You still have to consult your top player on if this guy, who's going to be a top guy, regardless, you still got to at least hear his opinion on it, in my opinion. You did it with Hogan. You did it with Rock. You did it with John. You've done it with Randy. You've done it with Roman. Why the hell would you not do it with Seth? And if you did do it with Seth, that man needs an Oscar because he looked like he was performing his ass off. If you did it with him.
I hope he knew. I really, really hope right? Seth knew because he did not look happy. And he was dropping all types of F-bombs. And
yikes, he's the McIntyre. Brother. McIntyre didn't look yikes. Happy either.
Yikes.
McIntyre looked pissed too.
Yeah, but I'm not quite sure if McIntyre's issue was related
to the
but he didn't
thing.
Look happy either. But yeah, it was very interesting. And I was like, yo, I would not be surprised if Seth did not know.
Yeah.
Only because Seth didn't know if he was really getting Cody.
Yeah.
Until Cody got there.
Like
until
some people
Cody came up.
If I'm Seth, I'm going to start getting pissed. Like, you leaving me in the dark on a lot of situations right now that I should know about.
That's exactly what I was getting to. We got to – we'll wrap this up and finish it at 45. But if I was Seth, bro, the first thing I'm saying when I come back through that curtain, the next time you want to spring somebody on me that I don't like, tell me first. Because this is some bullshit. That's strike two, man.
You know,
twice you did this to me.
They have to be very, very careful.
I'm supposed to be your boy.
I would look, they're going to need to tread very lightly with Seth going forward because 10 years ago, you had a CM Punk problem. Here we are 10 years later, bringing CM Punk in. What could you have with Seth Rollins? Potentially, you could have yourself another CM Punk problem. Only this time it's going to be a Seth Rollins problem.
I feel like Seth might be the only person that feels like a love-hate relationship with Hunter like people have with Vince.
Yes.
Where, like, I love you to death, but you've pissed me off so many times in my life. And you were just very hard sometimes to deal with because you just don't. Because I remember a couple times Sean got some people called up randomly that he didn't know was going to happen. And it's like, yo, like, how many times are you just doing that to people?
Yes. It's
like, that's got to be, yo.
Like, I didn't, like, you ever seen the Joe Exotic clip where people are, where he's like, I called twice, didn't get a hello, fuck you, nothing. That is what they got to be feeling right now. Like, I called twice, you didn't give me a where are you at, fuck are you doing, nothing.
Right? Like, we were talking and catering. You didn't think it was cool to mention this to me?
Like, oh yeah, we got Phil in the
I passed you the eggs, man. I passed you the eggs.
Like, we sat next to each other in catering eating lunch. You didn't think to tell me, yeah, we got Phil hiding out in a trailer right now.
All that time we were talking about the Grizzlies, man. I don't even like the Grizzlies. You couldn't have told me.
Yeah, I get it. We in Blackhawks Arena, but you ain't think to tell me you got the biggest Blackhawks fan in Chicago?
God dang, man. I'd be pissed if I was Seth. I really hope he knew and that was a work. But yeah, man, getting in a Punk's promo. I think he, I don't know, because they got, like I said, I listened to it and then I went, all right, they got themselves an MJF. Like it really clicked into me. And then it was like, God damn it. He is still one of the best on the mic.
Yeah.
He could still be the best in the world on that microphone, man. Because when it was time to like cut the Phil Brooks and get to the CM Punk of it all,
it switched. There was already a light switch.
That Seth Rollins shot was pretty sharp. Cut pretty deep, my brother.
Oof. I like that he addressed who gave him the idea to leave, too.
Set up stories for later.
Wise man once said it.
Save that one. Save that one for later. He's good. He's still damn good at this. Any lasting points on Randy? Any points on Nakamura choosing Cody Rhodes and being the next obstacle in Cody Rhodes' way?
You gonna ask me about them? You gonna ask me about them too? We ain't even touch on the greatest thing that happened.
Oh snap! Yes. All right. Yeah. We got to talk about the Creed brothers. About something else. We're jumping all over. Where are we?
No. The greatest thing that happened from this weekend.
Oh,
we got our truth back.
Our truth. Yes. Yes, the GOAT is back.
The future first ballot Hall of Famer in the comedy wing. R-Truth.
Yes, sir. The GOAT is returned. He's the best, man.
I was happy to have him back.
Hopefully, he can get a rub like Alpha Academy has, he's hilarious as a character, but he still like can go out there and do it.
Mm-hmm.
At one of the highest levels. I hope they put some respect on Truth's name. I would like a little more Ron Killings with my R-Truth.
Exactly. And I was going to say, Bobby Lashley, move over. You are no longer the oldest performer on the roster.
Yeah. Gotta give it up to Truth, bro.
And comes
gotta in. Give it up to Truth.
57-year-old R-Truth, still looking like he's 25.
Mm. For real. The man don't age. He's like, for real.
It's crazy.
But yeah. Anything else? Any other lasting points, man?
You know what? I think we've hit all we can hit in this dark match. There was something else we were gonna discuss, but you know what? We can save it because that's a whole can of worms that we're gonna dive into at a different date.
Okay. I will end this by saying, in my lasting thoughts. Duke, I bought the WrestleMania tickets.
Wait, what?
People have been asking me to be the best in the world. Why, Eddie? Why?